Hi, this is Kevin. Greg and I took this week off to celebrate Father's Day with our families, so Joe and Ward stepped in to do a podcast of their own that's talking about a subject near and dear to their hearts. It's a fascinating discussion. I think you'll enjoy it, and I'll be back with Greg, with Ward, and with Joe, and with Linda, and the rest of the gang in the next couple of weeks.
Welcome to this special recording for the More Perfect Union podcast. Now, before we bring Ward in, I am Joe on the More Perfect Union. You know me as Joe Syart. On the Working Fans podcast, I am known as Producer Joe, and I am bringing in one of my cohorts from the Working Fans podcast to discuss this Vince McMahon situation today. So I would like to introduce everybody to AJ Strangebrew. AJ, how are you doing?
Great. I'm excited to be on this show. They do a great podcast. You do a great podcast as a part of that podcast. I love the debates that they have with everything political and everything going on in the world, and they bring a little humor to it, so it's fantastic.
And speaking of humor, we have the mighty Ward Anderson. Ward, how are you doing today?
Hey guys, can you hear me okay?
We can hear you great.
Great. Hey, nice to be here.
Now, this is kind of an interesting More Perfect Union for us this week, because usually Ward and I are along for the ride, and I'm used to Kevin kind of driving the conversation. But on the More Perfect Union, we've wanted to do kind of shorter, more specialized episodes on certain subjects. And this week, I thought a pretty big news story broke kind of concerning wrestling, but even getting into the entertainment and regular world. Ward, have you come across the story in the news?
Well, I have. I like to think it's a big story that's kind of crossed several different parts of the media. But at the same time, I do have to also admit, although not a regular every single week kind of follower, I've always been a wrestling fan. So I'm kind of always, even if I'm not actively watching it for a year at a time, I'm still kind of up to date on storylines and ins and outs and things like that that are going on. Right. But I mean, I think this is a pretty big story. I think it's crossed over into complete mainstream, you know, media and stuff.
I mean, this is a story that crosses a lot of boundaries. It's entertainment. It crosses into the business world, people who have stocks. I mean, you're talking about a publicly traded company. You're talking about a little bit of the Me Too movement. You're talking about really touching all different spectrums of life. So it's definitely fascinating. Then, of course, you got Vince McMahon, who's a bigger-than-life personality, both on camera and off. So it's fascinating.
Definitely. Now, this past Wednesday, the Wall Street Journal published an article that the WWE Board of Directors is investigating a secret $3 million settlement between the company and a former employee. The employee was a paralegal that was hired in 2019. This began with an anonymous email that just mentioned that the employee had worked for the company and her salary had doubled once she began a physical relationship with McMahon. And that's kind of where the story first got out there. And then it's kind of snowballed as the days have gone on. Now, just from that initial story, I mean, this breaks all sorts of laws.
You got the quid pro quo. For some reason, it just did not want to come out of my mouth. I'm sorry about that. Those words just do not flow together. But you have that. Anybody who's ever been in any type of business knows that you cannot do this. It is literally one of the top laws that you cannot break in sexual harassment, is giving people extra money or offering people extra money for sexual favors. Whether they had a consensual relationship or not, you cannot double somebody's salary just because they're sleeping with you. That's just not something you can do, unfortunately.
No, and it's, you know, once it got out there, Jerry McDivitt, one of the WWE's lawyers, made it a point to mention that the money came from specifically McMahon and not the company. It seemed like almost in an attempt to kind of move the company away from this. But can you really get the WWE away from McMahon in a situation like this?
Financially, you can, yeah. I mean, like, that was what the point of doing that was, right? Financially and legally, you know what I mean? They can get away from it, but of course not. I mean, everybody, come on. We can talk about it being publicly traded and et cetera, all we want. But when you think of the WWE, you think of Vince McMahon as part of that. You simply do. If he's not the brand, I'm not saying that in some kind of egotistical blah, he's the brand. Of course not him, but McMahon is, the McMahon family, the McMahon name, right? Isn't that a huge part of the brand?
I would say.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's so they can never distance themselves entirely for that reason.
And here's the problem. Vince McMahon in the past has bragged about his conquests. He's gone on to interviews. He's talked about sleeping with lady wrestlers in the 80s. He's talked about different relationships that he's had with employees throughout the years.
You know what he hasn't talked about, Agent? You know what he hasn't talked about? He hasn't talked about me. Why doesn't he call?
I think that's more of a private conversation. I think that he talks about you a lot in his personal life. He doesn't like to bring it up because it gets too emotional.
Are we talking about Ed McMahon?
We could talk about Ed McMahon. I am a huge Johnny Carson fan.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And doesn't it almost show the hubris that he's almost not adapting with the times? He's carrying on like he has always had. And given the way he's conducted himself this past week, including appearing on national TV right after announcing that he stepped down from the company, that kind of shows a certain lack of care, I think, towards the story.
Well, he's always gotten away with it, right? So, I mean, you know, you talk about like, well, he's got his conquests and this shows, and it's like he's out of touch or whatever. What evidence does he have that he's out of touch? Like everything he does, he gets away with.
When you've gotten away with it your whole life and you've done it time and time again, and there's been no repercussions, it sets a pattern and it makes you feel almost like you're invincible, like nobody can touch you. And I mean, the guy's beating the federal government, for Christ's sakes, in steroid trials. He's beaten them in all kinds of things. He's overcome everything. Jerry McDivitt basically gets him off the hook for anything he's ever been on the hook for.
And I'm a little worried about this because I think people are going to see it as a professional wrestling story. And, you know, it's going to be the hot topic for like a week or so. And then it's going to blow over and then he's going to get away with it again. Do you think there's any chance, guys, that maybe we'll be taking it more seriously now? Like, has the Me Too movement come far enough that we could get some actual change here?
I got to be honest with you. The problem here is that it always comes down to the fans. And I don't know. I don't know what makeup of WWE fans are pro or indifferent to Me Too. So, I mean, that's what it ultimately depends upon, is how the fans react, right?
They cheered him on Friday night when he came out and spoke on SmackDown and spoke nothing about this. He just did.
I was going to say, to Ward's point, he came out to, not just did they cheer him, he came out to an ovation on Friday night. And all he literally said was very simple, their slogan, then, now, forever. And then he said, together. That was all he said in that interview,
and
was
then he
us together.
Mike, a little flippant at the end, that it was almost like it gave me the impression of I can do what I want. And it was just almost like him swinging his dick around in front of a national TV audience. Now, do you think the average person out there, how are they going to look at it as opposed to a wrestling fan? Because I feel like a wrestling fan is almost a biased opinion, and a lot of them are just going to look the other way on it.
Isn't that all that matters ultimately? I mean, at the end of the day, I can tell you this, you know, I do follow wrestling, like I told you, loosely, but I do. And nobody's been talking about this outside of people that are into wrestling. Like, nobody is talking about it. And you know me, man, I have many circles and I talk politics and current events with everybody. And the McMahon thing, people just, they're not surprised. And they just kind of wave it off as, of course, that's what he's done. And it seems that wrestling fans, you talk about the response this week. I mean, it doesn't seem to concern them, to be honest. I mean, I'm not going to judge, you know what I mean? But it doesn't seem to concern them.
The reason why he did that is because he knows average Joe on the street is never going to see what he said on SmackDown. But what it is going to do is it's going to literally tell the wrestling fans, the WWE universe, you guys are with me. You guys are behind me. Hey, you know who I am. You know what I do. Let's go. We're on this together. So it doesn't hit anyone outside of wrestling. All it does is push the people who would be behind him anyways and get them fired up for him.
Well, I mean, and isn't it possible, all right, isn't it possible that a form of sports entertainment that has millions of fans who are predominantly male might not be as interested in something from a Me Too perspective?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to sit here and do the whole, well, of course, wrestling fans are anti. I'm not going to do that because I know that wrestling fans are as diverse as anyone else, but it is a predominantly male audience, right? Although those men may be diverse, it is a predominantly male audience, right? So it may be that plenty of people, even who are pro Me Too, but pro wrestling fans, are choosing just not to even look at it or think about it that way, because this is where their loyalty to their entertainment lies.
Well, not only that, but some of the biggest sponsors for most wrestling podcasts is Blue Chew Crips. There's a reason why that is. How many of these guys are just looking at it and going, well, he's a 75-year-old hooking up with a paralegal. Good for him.
I'm sure that's part of it. I'm absolutely certain that's part of it. Right. And then I think there are those who try not to even think about that part of it. Do you know what I mean? They don't want to think about it. They don't want this thing tainted or they, you know what I mean? I really do believe that some people view their art or entertainment that way.
Now,
you know?
Is this almost on the same level as like a Harvey Weinstein like thing, or how is it coming off different to the public than the Weinstein thing did?
It's a little bit different of a story. In my opinion, yes, he did have an affair with this paralegal, and yes, that's inappropriate, but there's a difference between having somebody basically bring underage girls to your house to prostitute them and drug them and then put them in and share them with all your friends. It's a little bit different than that. There are some stories.
I'll just say there's a difference between rape and exploitation.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I mean? There's a difference. Two things can both be horrible and not be equally horrible. But
yeah, absolutely. Things can be horrible in their own right without necessarily being the same exact thing.
Right. And we're all men here, so we should probably, I think that's all we need to say about that.
100%. I can tell you, on this Father's Day, I have a 23-year-old daughter, and the idea of something like this, of her being with somebody like Vince McMahon, or in that situation where she felt like she was preyed upon, if that is the case, I could tell you that would infuriate me as a father.
It should just infuriate us as people.
Or human being, so, also, but yeah.
Yeah, but totally, I get it. I'm a father of two daughters, but I do have to be honest. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. What I'm saying is what I'm observing. And what I'm observing is the fans don't seem to care that much from what I've seen. And on top of that, not only do the fans not seem to care, I mean, if you really want to go into it, this all does seem like shit that's a work. It all does seem like something that's ripped from their own storyline. Like, the fans have gotten used to people coming back from the dead and beating each other to death and then being friends for a little while and then throwing each other through tables because someone got married at a drive-through. I mean, there's already this level of ridiculousness to the show, to the brand. Right. So why would this be? It's really not that far off from some of the storylines that they've had over the years, is it?
It's the most interesting storyline that personally they've had associated with them, I'd say, in a year. And that was part of my worry, that it's happening within the wrestling bubble, that people aren't going to view it as serious. They're going to view it almost as like, am I getting worked? And is it because of the inherent nature of wrestling that it was all built from trying to work people that don't know any better?
Okay, first of all, you were right. That wasn't just something you were worried about. You were worried about it justifiably, and you're right, because that's what's happened. And I'll tell you why. One, like you just said, that's the reputation, that's the brand, that's how it's seen. And so people have just kind of, it's another thing in the wrestling world. It's like if we found out that an executive producer of a soap opera actually had an evil twin. Do you see what I mean? You'd be like, well, that sounds par for the course for this guy. Right?
It's almost confirming the stereotype.
Right. But then to people who aren't wrestling fans, they've always seen Vince McMahon as a bit of a shyster, right? As a carny selling his wrestling, right? They've seen it that way. So this to them is just more proof of that. The wealthy carny paying off the broads, right? That's how people... So any of this surprise anybody? No.
Is it a stretch to say that Vince McMahon is this generation's P.T. Barnum? I don't think it's that much of a stretch. And if I came to you in 6 months and said to you, hey, this story, this whole thing, believe it or not, it's actually just been a storyline. It was just to get Stephanie back in control.
Of course.
You wouldn't be shocked.
Not
That's
at all.
One of the crazy things, because Stephanie had stepped down for a leave of absence in like a month or two ago. And just this week, Vince stepped down as CEO while they're doing an investigation, and she is coming back to fill his place. And I saw that and I'm like, that's very convenient. I mean, within the corporate structure and within family, it makes sense, but it is also blurring the lines. And I think it's causing everybody to take this less seriously, maybe than it should be viewed.
That's a really, really good point, because I'm going to piggyback on that by telling you this. Right before you said that, I was about to say what I'm going to say. But unfortunately, it goes to what you're saying. And that is, if I ever go online, I get up every morning, I make coffee, and I go online and I read the news from various sources. If I ever read a paragraph that says, a WWE employee is alleging, everything that comes after that doesn't surprise me. It never surprises me. And I'm talking about when they're like, a WWE former employee alleges that they once shot Windex into the audience because it gave the television a nice sheen broadcast. I'd go, sure they did. Why not? I mean, seriously, is there any news you hear when it comes through that doesn't wind up being proven to have happened? I mean, and we start going, all this shit happens with that company, it seems. And they just keep going. They just keep doing it.
If you opened up your newsreel tomorrow and you saw Vince McMahon dead, I wouldn't necessarily right away believe that. I would actually go, okay, what is the work this time? Did they blow him up again? Was he buried by the Undertaker? What happened this time?
Ha. You guys thought I was buried. I look like I was in a coffin. I got out of that coffin and I wasn't. You Lionel Perry, you kissed my ass.
I know. Was he faking his death just to get away from these accusations? Almost would be my first thought. And I thought for sure
you
this was going to be the scandal.
You're fired.
Now, think about it. All the scandals they've had over the years that they've survived. Jimmy Snuka killing his girlfriend, Nancy Argentino. Vince McMahon supposedly paying it off.
Wait a minute. Allegedly.
They've got the Ring Boy scandal. They've got the Rita Chatterton thing. I believe it was the ring announcer that he supposedly raped in the 80s. The steroid trial. And then the countless number of wrestler deaths. Like, at what point is society going to take this company for real? Like, they are entertainment, but they've left a body count behind them. And at some point, we can't just look at them as the circus and as that happens. We have to start treating it like animal cruelty in the circus or like freak shows. Like
lack of willing participants, okay? When one company has the most money for employment, okay, and everyone is an independent contractor, right? Meaning there's no job security no matter what they do to the boss. You're not going to get people to turn on, you know, people don't get that it's not like turning on your boss at the local plant. You're talking about turning on the boss who shuts off the industry practically.
Yeah.
Right? Who has the ability to just shut off the business, the industry. Or whose absence might do that, or whose, you know what I mean, whose scandal might make that happen. I mean, that's why you can't find enough people willing to sacrifice everything for a maybe.
Yeah, you got to remember, at the end of the day, we can cheer for other wrestling. We can love independent wrestling. We can enjoy whatever we want. There's only one man whose brand comes to Los Angeles, comes to Miami, and they literally shut down the city, put him in the biggest stadium possible, and sell tickets for 70,000 people once,
Paul
twice
Hogan
a year.
Of Crocodile Dundee fame. I got a knife. Remember when I had that knife? And they go crazy. Sold out the Hollywood Bowl.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So basically, kind of, what is your guys' takeaway from this? Will this have any meaningful resolution, or will it just be business as usual?
In the rest of the world, it'll be business as usual. Within the WWE, there may be some changes, some actual changes, even if that's policy changes, right? Hopefully it's policy changes. Like, hopefully they actually learn from this and, you know, treat it seriously, of course, right? But I mean, like, will it actually lead to permanent, like, shakeups in management? I think that's actually possible this time, because it is something that, whether the fans react to it or not, legally the company should be sweating and should be thinking of how to avoid going through again.
Yeah, because this should be the last time this happens, right? We just can't keep, because they've been talking for a while about Vince being in the same spot for years. And if you look at it, for most of people's adult lives, Vince and his wife have run WWF. I believe it was in 1982 that Vince got Capital Wrestling from his father, and it started becoming the company that it is now. And it stayed pretty much that way, and he's gotten away with whatever he's wanted. He's a known associate of Donald Trump. I've brought it up a couple times on the More Perfect Union. Trump is a member of the WWE Hall of Fame, and I'm almost worried that that kind of thinking from that fan base is almost carrying over to this, and it's just kind of another blind eye to women's struggles in business.
But how interesting is it just to picture Vince McMahon and Donald Trump hanging out on a boat together, just partying it up? I mean, that's got to be one hell of a thrill ride.
I actually think that, and this is me looking at numbers, and it's not me talking about my own personal political bias, okay, but I really do think that if the WWE doesn't kind of distance itself a little bit from the Trump, you know, kind of persona, and even Vince McMahon, if he doesn't kind of step away from the Mr. McMahon character a little bit moving forward, I think ultimately that is what will cause the real decline in the WWE, because things are changing, right? They really are. And it's not that I don't think they're even changing, say, within the WWE or whatever, but the storylines, it's not changing fast enough, right? And I think ultimately that's what will cause its decline. Because I think the outside world is changing faster than it is.
It's going to come down to ego. Vince McMahon's ego, I don't believe will allow him to adapt. One of the problems that he's had, even when it comes to the WWE universe and storylines, is the fact that his ego doesn't allow him to listen to his fans. So I find it hard to believe that his ego will allow him to listen to society and adapt to what he needs to as a human being.
That makes sense. Before we go out, AJ, any quick words to go out on?
First and foremost, yeah, thank you very much. Anytime we can have discussions based on things that are going on in the world, whether it's the world of wrestling or politics, it's always great to have discussions. Guys, we need to change the world a little bit. We do need to be a little more thoughtful of as other people other than ourselves. It can't all be based on what we've done and gotten away with for years. We have to start to try to evolve and just be better people.
It's great talking to you, man. And it's fun. I like talking about this stuff. It's interesting, you know, but you're right. You know, the world has to change, and I'm with you on that. And it's, look, you know, of course, wrestling is going to be slower, right? I'm not excusing that, right? You know, I'm saying, of course it is. It's still a, you know, testosterone driven kind of, you know, throw a guy against the floor entertainment, right? You know, it's also why we enjoy it. Right.
I think it is changing.
I think you guys are proof that it's changing, because, you know, the fans are pushing for the way the rest of society is pushing. So it will change, just hopefully faster than we probably think.
Yeah, I think it's very much a base level of entertainment. But as with anything in this world, you can take your entertainment seriously. And especially when real world issues creep in like this, to be able to speak to them helps. So. Everybody, thank you for joining us for this special edition of the More Perfect Union podcast. And Kevin, thank you again.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. Chumba. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.